We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Thursday, Brevard County. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program brought to you by the Saints at Merritt Assembly of God right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. So we're just a couple of days away from the Super Bowl, and I don't really have strong affections one way or the other, so I'm in a no-lose situation here. If Carolina wins, it will be the first time that they've ever won a Super Bowl, and so that would be okay. If the Broncos win, I know a lot of Broncos fans, and that would be okay. Peyton Manning really, really works hard at his craft, and I know all of those other people do as well. If you wanted to know my personal feelings, is Carolina beat Green Bay and kind of root against them for that, but really, really not like last year's Super Bowl where I didn't care for either one of the teams. This year my team's not in it, and so I'll just root for whoever wins. So we're going to take you in the Word this morning. We do want to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God this weekend. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have our worship service at 10:30, and then we have our grow group format, which will be taking place in our church sanctuary Sunday night at 6:30. So we would love to have you come and be a part of that. I know that that does conflict with the Super Bowl, but I want you to know it's actually the Super Bowl trying to conflict with the church. We were having Sunday night services at Merritt Assembly of God long before the Super Bowl ever came around. So our church dates back to 1952. So they're cutting in on our territory, and we're just kind of not going to let go of that. You know, when I was a kid, Sunday night service was a wonderful time. You'd have more time around the altars. You would get to hear people develop their gifts, use their gifts, and so we believe in Sunday night service. Now, when I was growing up, in the ministry, I used to think that Sunday morning was prime time because the crowds were bigger. And then really when I got into the ministry, I discovered Sunday night was actually prime time because that was when most of the people who were coming were there because they were hungry for God. I'm not saying that the people who only came on Sunday morning weren't, but these people were saying, God, I want more of you than I've ever had before. I want more insight into your word. I want all of the giftings that you have for us. And so we're very thankful for Sunday night service. Now, this Sunday night, I will not be there. My wife and I will be away. It's not because we don't like Sunday night service. I do almost every Sunday night service, but we will not be there Sunday night, but our very capable team will be there. And with that being said, we do want to mention one more time that our new youth minister and his wife, who will be doing children's ministry, they are going to be launching their ministry at Merritt Assembly of God this coming week. They come with a great deal of experience. They have served in juvenile detention facilities. They have worked with inner city youth ministries, urban youth ministries, children's ministry. They have planted a church. They have pastored another church at the district's request. And they come with a great deal of qualifications and experience. They are missionaries with teen missions. they know the a little bit of the area, and just a few weeks ago, they called and said, "Pastor, we were with you at a service last summer, and we just felt a real connection with your church, and God has been speaking to us, and feel as if He's leading us to Florida. Do you have anything that you could use us to do in your church?" And so God orchestrated this all together. That was them contacting me. They didn't have any idea what was going on with our ministry or anything, and I hadn't contacted them. To be honest with you, once they had moved on, we figured that we wouldn't see them until, you know, possibly this coming summer. But God had other plans, and we know that which He orders, those steps that He orders, that He orders them on purpose. And so we're really looking forward to what God is going to be doing in our youth. It's a fledgling youth ministry. We restarted our youth ministry back in August. We are really, really excited about what God is going to do. So take you to Acts chapter 6 this morning. We're going to be concluding our study on creating a culture of service. You can create that culture of service wherever you go. There's a department store that is called Nordstrom's. Nordstrom's is a full-service department store. It actually began as a full-service shoe store. And, I worked in a full-service shoe retail environment. That's where the customer comes in. They would sit down. The salesperson would come. They would take off their shoes. They would measure their feet. They would know as much about the product as they could know, serve them. And what happened was Nordstrom's service in the shoe industry became such an industry standard that they created that same culture of service throughout their retail environment and became a major department store. Now, I've never shopped in Nordstrom's, never been around in Nordstrom's. I just know the story of Nordstrom's, that it was recreated, it was expanded because they had a culture of service. And verse 1 of Acts chapter 6 says, "Now in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. When they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." This chapter begins, and the church is doing marvelous. The disciples are multiplying. Now, that word disciple implies that they weren't just people who were attending, but they were actually following, they were actually learning, they were growing in their faith, they were beginning to act like Christians. So we are called not to make converts, but to make disciples. And so I pray that your church, that you are becoming more and more like Jesus every day, that you are growing in your faith, that you are more committed than you've ever been before. And so that was what was going on. Kingdom growth was taking place. It wasn't just people moving from one church to another, but there was kingdom impact, kingdom growth that was taking place. And the devil hates it when the kingdom grows, because when God's kingdom is growing, that means the devil's kingdom is shrinking. The kingdom of light increases, the kingdom of darkness decreases. So, there is kingdom growth that is taking place, and as a result of that, now I don't believe that this was intentional on anybody's part, but there was a problem that arose. And problems can, there are good problems and there are bad problems. This was actually a good problem in that the church was growing to such an extent that it was growing beyond its organizational structure that it had at that point in time. At that point in time, everything kind of revolved around the disciples. Everything was kind of going through them. And so when the problem arose where there were some people who felt like that their widows were not being treated the same way that other widows were, then there became a tension in the church. And so I want to reveal to you today that if there are problems, if there is tension, it could be that the reason is because you're doing exactly what God wants you to do and you are making an impact, but God is actually wanting to stretch and cause you to transition and to grow. The devil would create a mindset in that problem and say, look, it's because of racism, it's because of discrimination, it is because of bigotry. And he will try and describe all of these negative reasons why this problem exists, when in actuality, there was needing to be a shift in the church. Several months ago, we were blessed with a vehicle. We gave a vehicle away. Someone gave a vehicle to us. The vehicle that they gave to us was a manual transmission vehicle. That means that whenever I have reached a threshold in the revolutions per minute of the engine, that in order for me to go faster, I have got to take my foot off the accelerator, engage the clutch, and then put the stick shift into a different gear, then take my foot off of the clutch and put my foot back on the accelerator so that there can be more effectiveness, more efficiency coming out of the engine. And that's what was taking place here. What was taking place in Acts chapter 6 is the base of service was getting ready to stretch beyond just the church leadership. It was now going to be placed in the form of servants. And Acts chapter 6 here is where we discover that deacons were created. It was where deacons, and deacon is a word that means one who serves. It is used to refer to both men and women. It is one who serves with a heart of love. It is one who serves with excellence. And so they bring this problem to the disciples, and the disciples, in verse number 2, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from you, from among you 7 men of good reputation. And so it is a growth experience when you realize that you are not the solution to every problem that comes up, that there are people that God has gifted in the body of Christ that will be able to solve certain problems, so you will be liberated to serve in your arena, in your ministry, with greater efficiency and greater effectiveness, and you can trust it. It says that they actually looked at this. Let me see where I can find this. In verse number 3, whom we appoint over this business, and the disciples, we're going to take care of this. We need this addressed, but there needs to be some capabilities. There needs to be some training. There needs to be some responsibility. I will tell you, the greatest servants are those who feel responsible for whatever has been entrusted into their hands. I read a book one time, and it was written by a guy that his first ministry position was janitorial. It was custodial. It was helping out in the church. And he said, and so when I performed my task of cleaning the restrooms, he said, I wanted to do it better than anybody else. And he said, so when I would go into a restroom, he said, I would go in and I would shut the door and I would sit there and I would look and see what maybe people who were just doing a cursory cleaning or just a superficial cleaning that they might overlook. And he said, so I would go and I would look at things the way that people who were attending the church, that they might look at them. And he went on to develop a ministry to churches. And he said, you know, I just want to help you to see things that other people may perceive, but you might not be seen. So the disciples were made aware of this problem, and they said, look, we have a responsibility, and it would not be desirable for us to set aside the word of God for this other ministry. There are certain things that God has called us to do that others cannot do at this point in time, and so we need to find people that God has gifted to help do this. What is it that God has made you good at? Are you a smiler? Are you just a happy person? Well, God might have you be in the ministry of just being a greeter. You might, if you have a tremendous personality that comes across when you're talking on the phone, God may have you helping out in the church office. Listen, there are plenty of needs that go out there. We have a part-time office administrator, and you know, between she and I, we end up dealing with the most of the church administrative matters on the days that she is there. But there are other things that need to be done, and I'm sure if it's true in a church of 51, that it's true in a church of no matter what size it is, that there could be people that you wouldn't even have to come into the office just to be able to call and build relationship with people and encourage people and pray with them on the phone. There are all sorts of problems that could actually be a shifting of the gears to propel the church forward. So it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you. Okay. And so here is what really took place. The people who were aware of the problem were suddenly presented with the opportunity to solve the problem. If all you do is complain and you do not have anything to bring to the table that is going to resolve the matter, then you're missing the point. The disciples said, okay, you all have noticed this problem. You're bringing us, and most of these people whose names are mentioned here in Acts chapter 6 end up being from a Hellenistic Jewish background. So they were people who were aware of the problem, and he said, okay, we're going to turn this responsibility over to you. And so he said, we want you to seek out seven men, and let's look at some of the things, some of the attributes that they brought to serving tables, making sure that the widows of the church were taken care of, okay? Men of good reputation. Your reputation matters, okay? People need to know who you are. They need to know how that your message and your life line up together. I try and be as authentic and genuine and transparent as I can be with people, and yet there are times when that authenticity can actually be a stumbling block to people, because my face will tell you what is going on inside. I like to have fun. I like to tease people, and yet there are some people that they don't have that same type of temperament or demeanor. And so, you know, I try and have a humorous relationship with somebody, but if they don't think it's funny, then I'm not going to have that type of temperament around them. It's who I am. I like to have fun. I love having fun. I tell people that I only had two serious bones in my body. Both of those were removed when I lost a finger as a child. And now the only time I'm serious is when I'm anointed. I like to have fun. And so if my being real with people, and this, there are different philosophies. I know of some churches that have told their staff that as far as everybody knows in this church, when they come to church on Sunday, your life is perfect. It doesn't matter what's going on in your home, doesn't matter what's going on in your finances, what's going on in your health. When you show up, your life is absolutely perfect. Well, I will tell you, my life is not absolutely perfect. There are things that God is still working on and refining. And so my face discloses, you know, what's going on the inside. My wife and I, we have this mindset, and, it is this, because my face reacts to whatever it hears. I have no control over my face. I can show you a million pictures that gives evidence to the fact that I do not have control over my face. Either when I smile to take a picture, my eyes are as big as deer's and headlights, you know, they just wide-eyed, or I look like a person that's been on a three-day drug binge, and I don't do drugs. I just have no control. And people say, well, do this with your face, and I try and do that, and they say, oh, that's terrible. When I say I've got a face for radio, folks, please believe me, it just reacts. I've got no control over my facial muscles. I would be a horrible actor, an actor portraying something that they really don't feel inside. But whenever something genuine is going on, it manifests in my countenance. And so my wife and I, we have adopted this mindset that we will give each other enough space for them to assert control over their face. You know, because sometimes I could hear something and it not be happy about it, but you know, I'm going to give myself enough leeway to process it so that I can take dominion. You see, my emotions do not rule my personality. My spirit rule over my emotions. And so give each other that little bit of space, and don't, you know, just assume that everybody is going around hating you, or if the pastor didn't come up and shake your hand or anything like that. Just a couple of Sundays ago, I shook a lady's hand. She said, Pastor, this is the third time you shook my hand this morning. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you were just there, and I just reach out and I shake people's hands, and it's because there have been times when people said, you know, the pastor didn't shake my hand, and they ended up leaving. So I mean, I would rather err on the one side, on the overly hospitable side, than I would on somebody feeling shunned or ignored or whatever. Be men of good reputation. We're not going to get through this lesson today. I can see that right now with the clock. But it says, men of good reputation. The Bible admonishes us that we should be living our lives in such a manner that if people go around talking trash about you, that's the Bob Arthur's paraphrase version, that those who hear about that would not even give it a second thought because of the type of person that you are. Your character matters. Bad company corrupts good character. So I want to ask you, who are you hanging around? Who are you growing from? I'm not talking about who are you ministering to, because we are called to minister to people of all spectrums of society, every socioeconomic bracket, every race, every subset of the population. We're called to minister to them. So I'm not talking about who are you hanging around when you minister. I'm talking about who are you allowing to influence you. Because if you want to, I noticed this in the music industry. Let me address it this way. That people who are at very high levels of recognition in the music industry, they are hanging around with other people. They are collaborating. I actually see more teamwork taking place in the worship industry now than I've ever noticed before. Before it was kind of, you know, okay, well, I'm going to be the producer and you're going to be the performer. But now I see people who are operating with a level of anointing, and they're saying, how can I help you to be the best that you can be? And how can you help me to be the best that I can be, so that we can help the church to be the best that the church can be, so that we can have the best impact on the world that it can have. So our character, our reputation, it needs to line up with the Word of God. You need to be the same person in private that you are in public. You need to be the same person inside the church that you are outside the church. Right now, the world is talking about a philosophy called compartmentalization, where people in this generation, they live in little boxes. And so when they are at work, they are in this box here. And at that box, they may be very aggressive. They may not be very loyal to the other people. They may lie to get the sale. They may do whatever is necessary. But then those same people would come to church, and they would say, okay, well, at church I'm very friendly, I'm very quiet, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to tell the truth. And yet they are authentic as to who they are in both of those. You see it in politicians. You know, politicians says, I didn't lie. When I was in that compartment, I was telling you exactly what you wanted to hear, and I really meant it. But God is not into compartmentalization. He wants the key to every door of our heart, and He wants us to be the same in public and in private. And so I encourage you, if you're going to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you need to know God, and you need to have a good reputation. People need to know that God has done a transforming work in your life. And so that's really what I would encourage you to do. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to point out anything in our life that might be damaging our reputation. Something that's not pleasing in His sight. You see, I'm not worried about what the world thinks my reputation is. What I'm worried about, concerned about, what I'm focused on is what is my reputation before God? Because He knows my thoughts. He knows my innermost realities. And I want Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to have a reputation of faithfulness to Him that manifests in my relationships with those outside the church and those inside the church. Father, I pray today, God, that we would not just be people who would complain about a problem, but we would be people who could help solve the problem, that we could help free people up to serve in their arenas of ministry better and better by taking some of the responsibility from them. Lord, may every person listening today be a person whose reputation is that they are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, that they are serving the King of Kings. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."